Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Going into the weekend, the Guardians were a game and a half back of the White Sox for the top spot in the AL Central. Despite a weekend sweep at the hands of the Rays in Tampa, Cleveland enters this week 2.5 back of the White Sox. Guardians dropped all three over the weekend, shut out in two of them. Cleveland's on a 5-game losing streak. They'll look to halt that slide tonight in Cincinnati. Guardians and Reds go at 7. Hear that game on The Fan following the Buckeye Show. Cincinnati won in St. Louis 5-3 Sunday. Reds took 2-3 from the Cardinals over the weekend, their third straight series win. Cleveland leads the 2026 Ohio Cup 3-2. In the NFL, Browns and Bengals kick off training camp Tuesday. Cardinals and Panthers go in the Hall of Fame game next Thursday in Canton. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co., locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamery is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Tom Barry here.
Well, Reese came in and he handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then
it's a rundown.
And then he said, "You see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me." Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist: Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
Well, it's still live on a Monday edition of the program. Back and better than ever here, and away we go. Football season is here, and we are stacked up and loaded up appropriately. What we learned this week coming up at 10 o'clock, Austin Ward going to stop by at 10:30. 20 most interesting, oh God, I just want to embrace both of you. The beloved ponies on a Monday, the 20 most interesting. A very interesting thing has happened at SMU in that it's possible by the time the Big Ten and the SEC decide they want more teams, both of them may be looking at the beloved ponies as a team that would make a little bit of sense for them. Billy Embody going to join us at 11:30 on the ponies as well. If you just listen to the Haslam Update anchor there, you know that we have now turned the corner officially. We have NFL teams reporting to camp this week. We have the Hall of Fame game next week. We have Big Ten Media Days this week. We have high school football in the state of Ohio, which really has been going on all summer long, officially starting this week. Football season, kids, is here. There's an attitude to it. There's an excitement to it. There's an unknown to it. I participated in a poll with our good buddy Doug LaMaurice, and we'll have the results of that poll coming up in about 26 minutes from now. And one of the tasks was to rank the Big Ten teams in the preseason. So we did a Big Ten preseason poll. And he had 46 people participate in it, which is a massive number of people to participate in a preseason poll. And as I was going through it yesterday on the flight back from Montana and ranking the teams and picking my offense and defensive players of the year, I was thinking about the questions that this Buckeye team has to answer. There's a lot. There are a lot of questions. It's a massively talented roster. It is an incredibly difficult, challenging schedule that they'll have to navigate. And it's going to be a hell of a ride going from here to whenever this thing ends, all the way when we get into January, which, of course, we all anticipate. I was in Montana last week. Let's just say that we'll do a couple stories with the old man and that. But I would just say this off the top of it. The Montana of my youth, in the places that most of you decide to go, is largely gone. It's gone. It has become and we were in only for a couple of nights. And by the way, I'm not even going to tell you where I went because I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go because what I saw on Saturday in Whitefish, Montana, I was born in Kalispell, and Whitefish has next to Big Sky been one of the true boom towns that have happened out there. And Whitefish, Montana is largely unrecognizable.
from what it was like when I was a kid. It's largely unrecognizable from what it was like 10 years ago when my brother had a place over there. Whitefish, Montana has become a combination of kind of Aspen and Beverly Hills is kind of what it is now. The best way that I can give you to describe it is there's several streets in downtown, and Whitefish is stunning. It was my favorite town in Montana. There's a lake right in downtown. There's a massively cool ski resort called Big Mountain that is in the distance that you can see that kind of lords over the town. It's an awesome town. And guess what? You all think so too. It's an easy sell. I mean, you fly into Kalispell, it's 10 minutes away, and you're at this idyllic mountain town, ski resort town with a lake, and you can boat in the summer and you can ski in the winter. And I get it. You love it for all the reasons that we loved it. There is a longtime spectacular saloon in Whitefish called the Bulldog Saloon, and it's on one of the main streets in Whitefish. And it looks the same. From the outside, it looks the same. And the boys and I were walking Saturday night up and down and with Aim, and we were walking around checking things out. And, the main downtown, which used to be littered with, little restaurants and shops and stuff like that, has been largely taken over by Montana shop t-shirts and all of this type of stuff. And, brewery, a lot of this wins, by the way, too. I mean, for God's sakes, they got a store in downtown Whitefish, Kemosabe, which is this upscale Western wear stuff originated in Aspen. Whitefish is a ranch town at its heart. My dad's not walking into Kemosabe. I promise you that. That's not what he's doing. But they got one of these down there. So walk into the Bulldog Saloon and it is slammed. Slammed. I mean, out, which made me happy if it's the same owners. I hope that it is. But it is slammed with folks who very clearly are not locals. They're not. And the economy is booming, but it's kind of boomed the Montanans out of Montana in a couple of these spots. And Whitefish has certainly become one of these spots. So I said, well, we're not going to wait, 30 minutes for, a bucket of wings at the Bulldog Saloon. So as we walk out of it, we're walking and a guy named Sven, whether he's named Sven or not, I have no actual idea if his name's actually Sven, but he's operating a skincare operation on a corner street in Whitefish, Montana. And he pulls me in, and I won't attempt to do he claims he's from Amsterdam and his name's Sven, so that kind of didn't even all make sense. It felt like a little bit of a ruse, but then I realized what he paid for the spot. And I said, well, there's probably a pretty decent chance that this is all pretty legit. He's walking by, he stops me, he goes, oh, you look like someone who takes great care of their skin. And I understand that's not exactly a Swedish accent, but just try to follow along. And I'm with the boys. I don't know any idea where the blonde is. And he pulls me in and goes, let me fix these bags under your eyes. I can fix those in 2 minutes. So NBC, I'm like, how did I get into this? Like normally I'm like, I'm good. Somehow I get pulled in by Sven. I'm sitting down. He's putting eye cream on my eyes. They've got some sort of a blower that they're blowing. I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact that I'm in Whitefish, Montana, and all this is happening. I look over and NBC just mouths to me, what is going on? Kind of like the Jim GIF from The Office. Like, what is going on? And then he goes, Sven looks at NBC and he goes, see, it's better, isn't it? It's better. And NBC's like, yeah, it looks great. Pulls my wife in somehow. She's like, what is going on here? He's slinging $500 eye cream. In Whitefish, Montana.
Did you get any?
She did. Yeah, she did. It was pretty effective.
Sounds like John Dutton lost.
He lost, dude. John Dutton is, thank God, he's rolling over in his grave, boys. It's over. It is over. It was just like, what happened? We were having breakfast the next morning, and I just said to my wife, I'm like, well, I don't, because at times we think about maybe having a place up there. I'm like, it's not going to be here. I'll tell you that. This place has just completely changed. Absolutely. And so there's still some good stuff. We went over to my dad's place, and, I'll have some more absurdities with him as the show goes along. But the thing that jumps out to me, it occurs to me that I was never awake, or maybe he's always done this, or I don't know if it's a new thing. I've never been awake when he makes coffee. And making coffee for my dad is a ritual of every morning. And the best I can tell, he drinks an entire pot by himself, an entire pot of coffee. And I was up as before him, and I looked over and I looked at the coffee pot and the bottle. The thing wasn't there. And I kind of looked around the corner. My guy was filling the coffee pot with a hose. I said, what are you doing? It's faster. All right. Okay, let's just not tell the blonde that we're filling the coffee pot with hose. We'll just keep that as our little secret. And I think this line from Beamsy sums it up best, and I'll have some more anecdotes as the show goes along. We are we're getting ready for bed on the first night that included, I mean, he's got chickens running everywhere, roosters everywhere. He's got geese and ducks and donkeys and horses and all of this nonsense everywhere. And he expects the boys to just walk through all of it and handle all of it. It's like 11:15 at night, well past her bedtime. We're putting the two littles to bed in my middle brother's old room in the basement. It is not a walkout basement, kids. This is old school basement, pitch black, basic concrete, you know, I suppose he's got sheetrock on the walls. That's about it. It's framed in. And we go down there. It's pitch black. And I go, Beamsy, you have got to go to bed. And he goes, it's a lot, Dad. And I said, it's fair. It's a lot. It's a lot. Reese, how'd you do?
All right. Survive in advance, right? We were talking last week with JP, who's going to be out at Big Ten Media Days.
Yeah.
With the heat dome, with explosive lettuce diarrhea. I don't know. Did it make its way?
Oh, my God.
To your neck of
we
vacation?
We didn't have it, but it was a constant. The lettuce explosion was certainly omnipresent throughout the week. I just assumed out there that there was no way that it got out there, but especially to the remote place we ended up being. But no, that was in the mix. It seemed like I missed a lot.
For like the summer, I usually say don't. Wish it away, but I'm kind of done.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, let's end this.
That's a wrap. One of my favorite things we always do is 20 most interesting. As I mentioned, we will do SMU today. I want to catch up with Bake on what we missed. We're also going to get you set on where we are with NFL, which begins tomorrow with the Browns and the Bengals reporting. They start practices this week. It's go time, kids, and we're off and running on a Monday. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Ice.
Ben Stiller just landed, and this is what I told him last night.
Wait, whoa. And I told him last night.
Yeah.
Rothman and Ice. Weekdays at noon.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid for the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe a few showers and thunderstorms. Better chances likely to be off to our west. Overnight, though, better chance of thunderstorms area-wide. Those may produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early on Tuesday, then partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Buckeye fans, your first look at the 2026 Buckeyes is here. Join us August 6th through the 8th, Woody Hayes Athletic Center for Ohio State Football Camp. Presented by Safe Flight and Bob's Discount Furniture. Watch practice live, get autographs, take photos with select players, and experience the start of the new season up close. Tickets are limited and going fast. Just $48 for general admission. Upgrade to VIP for shaded seating, refreshments, and more. Secure your spot today at OhioStateBuckeyes.com. Don't miss your chance to be part of Buckeye Nation's kickoff to 2026. And we will be broadcasting live out there next Thursday and Friday. Yes, it is that time. One of the boys asked me, we were talking about this. We said, well, how did this happen? How did this happen to Montana? What happened here? And I said, well, I'm no expert on it, but I think three things happened. Number one, the internet, because now all of a sudden anybody could Google, for example, what Glacier Park looks like. You could Google what Whitefish, Montana, or Bozeman, or Big Sky, or Missoula, or any of these places a lot of folks moved to. You could see what it looks like right away. Before that, it was word of mouth. You had to know somebody who was there. I mean, just think about how we were able to glean information from that point. It was, what, the World Book Encyclopedia? That's one picture of the state. I mean, there's no way that you had any idea what was out there. So I think that was the first thing. I think social media was the second. People started sharing photos of how spectacular it is out there. And then the third thing, and I think this was kind of the nail in the coffin, was Yellowstone. I do think that was it. I think the combination of Yellowstone and COVID happening at the same time, those two things, people were like, I want to be there. The amount of Texas and California people, which obviously is kind of strange politically, but the amount of Texas and California people that were out there was truly stunning. I was talking to a lovely lady who is a local and had one of the original authentic Western wear stores in downtown Whitefish. And her and I were talking a little bit, and I said, I was born here. And I said, you know, what has this been like? And we were talking a little bit. And she's like, I just hope at some point it dries up. I didn't have the heart to tell her. It's not. The airports are getting better. The direct flights are getting more and more. It was really easy to fly through Chicago to get there. It's only going to get better and better. Quite honestly, the two things that could potentially save the state are the two things that make it the most difficult to live there. Number one, the smoke from the forest fires. And that rolled in middle of last week. I actually have a photo I'll tweet it out of the smoke in the morning I was up as it was literally rolling in. There were wildfires in Idaho that were rolling into the western part of the state to the point where you could hardly really see the mountains. And then the other thing is just going to be they need really, really cold winter. They need a stretch of like 40 below for 2 weeks that'll scare people off a little bit. And that's about it. There's nothing else that's going to stop it because all of the creature comforts that these folks want, they're all there now, including Sven. Bake, what did we, 20 most interesting, who did you have last week? Bake and Reese, you were out all last week, right?
Nope, just Monday.
Oh, just Monday. Oh, you both were here. Okay, yep. All right, guys. So then what did we, for some reason I thought Bake told me Friday. No, you and I did. Oh, who doesn't matter. So
I was thinking, like, what did we do?
Cross-eyed. What were your biggest impressions of the teams you guys talked about last week on 20 Most Interesting?
So for me, and we ran through. We started with South Florida on Monday, mm-hmm. and then we ran through a couple ACC teams, and then we did Michigan State to make sure you could be here for SMU. We did Michigan State on Friday. I think the one thing I took away maybe the most was just how bad everything has gotten up in Michigan State and how much they need Pat Fitzgerald to come in there and change the culture of everything.
Okay.
And they've had three head coaches in the last 5 years, basically. So it's understandable that everything has gone crazy. Also, Notre Dame, there's probably no reason they shouldn't go undefeated this year through the regular season.
Oh, you did the Irish last week.
Yeah, it is soft, the schedule for Notre Dame.
It is, yeah. Did you talk to Pete?
We did not get Pete. We had Brian Driscoll of the Irish Breakdown on.
Was the sense that you guys got that this is the best team that they've had since 88?
It seemed
like
the
expectations.
The best team in a long time, and the expectations are very high.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is win a national championship for the Irish.
Yeah.
And they expect to do it with massive production from their two Ohio State wide receivers. Ohio, did I say Ohio? What they've done is fascinating from a standpoint of the more I think about it and the more I talk to people about Notre Dame, the less likely I feel like they're joining a conference anytime soon. Especially if they're able to summit college football's mountaintop,
mm-hmm.
then they need nobody. And they've got the right coach to do it. And they've got a booster base that's ready and willing. And they've got the quarterback that they've developed.
I kind of get the feeling in talking to folks, I kind of feel like Marcus Freeman is one of the most powerful people in college football. I really think he might be. Because what you said there is they got the coach. And I know the NFL came calling for Marcus this last offseason. I know that. I know that he considered it. I know that he loves Notre Dame. But at the same time, it's kind of crazy when you think about his path, but boy, you could almost make an argument that he's as big as they are now, that he is almost the very coolest version that their brand can be. The way that he's recruiting, the way that he reaches players, like what they've kind of become, which, I mean, he was a charismatic player here, obviously, but his path to that is absolutely bonkers. And to be in a position now where, because I think you're right, Reese, they are very dug in on it. And the only way that I think I could see them joining a conference is if the Big Ten just says, we're not scheduling you. And if whatever happens with the ACC in the next couple of years, if the teams remaining in that or the teams who leave that say, we're not scheduling you, then is their alumni base, you mentioned how easy their schedule is, Bake, like, is their alumni base satisfied with that schedule? Because remember, that's a big reason why Oklahoma went to the SEC, because they weren't getting games that were interesting on campus. So those will be the factors that leave it. But as long as Marcus is there, I have a hard time believing they're not going to stay at this level.
As long as the schedule gets them into the college football playoff and puts them in a national championship game, and I don't see, because they can't agree on anything, the Big Ten and the SEC just being like, let's just not schedule Notre Dame. All right, everybody, not schedule them on three.
Yeah.
Like the ACC too. Like, there's at least going to be enough teams for Notre Dame to say, all right, we're 10-1. Let us in. Knock, knock. And they'll get in.
Boy, just to buttress Reese's point, oh my God.
It's bad. It's really bad.
Well, there's a couple at the, Wisconsin, Rice, Michigan State, all at home, at Purdue, at North Carolina, then Stanford at home, at BYU, Navy at home, Miami, okay, Boston College, SMU will be tough, and then at Syracuse. So that's three Big Ten teams on the schedule, though. So that does kind of prove my point that if you don't play them, like, don't play them, Wisconsin, don't play them, Michigan State, don't play them, Purdue. Maybe you could bully them a little bit, but it's... Did you do Miami too?
We did do Miami. I've kind of felt like this for a while. I don't think they feel like this. I feel like they're going to take a little step back this year, because I just don't know how you replace those two defensive ends and those two tackles on your lines. I just don't think that's going to be a seamless transition for them. They're still going to be really good, because Mintz is a productive quarterback, and Mark Fletcher and Malachi Toney are really, really good at the running back and wide receiver spot. But their lines took a massive hit.
Mm-hmm. But I got the sense that they feel like they got better. Like, they upgraded at quarterback, like he even said that. It's like, this was an upgraded quarterback with Mintz over Carson Beck, like the Hurricanes.
That's something.
It's an insane thing to think about. Like,
it really is.
Duke, that won the ACC, loses their quarterback to Miami, the team that didn't win the ACC yet made the college football playoff and got to the national championship. But no, Miami also feels like this is our year.
What did you on the South Florida front? How was it with Brian, momentum and that type of stuff?
It seemed to be pretty good. They seem to think that Brian has, you know, and I don't know if they think they're going to be as good as they were last year, because they lost so many guys from that team. And obviously the quarterback in Byron Brown left and went to Auburn with Alex Golish. Michael Van Buren, though, the kid that's coming in, has a pedigree, at least. He was highly recruited. So, but I do think they feel like, they're going to continue the momentum. It may take a little speed bump this year, but they seem very happy with Brian Hartline and the energy he's brought to the program.
Yeah, it's if there is a group of six team, it probably won't be them, but who that is and how many of them get in is going to be a fascinating thing to follow as the season goes along. Obviously, a lot of college football on the program today. Going to be a lot of NFL on the program tomorrow. Both the Browns and the Bengals report for practice on Tuesday. Open practices beginning, you know, this week up in Cleveland for sure. Preseason football. We have a Hall of Fame game a week from Thursday. The Cardinals and Panthers will play in that. Browns open preseason play in a game you'll be able to hear right here on The Fan on August 15th at Chicago. That is a 1 o'clock, just an odd one. And then the Bengals begin preseason play on Thursday, August 13th, hosting the Detroit Lions. So football, away we go. And speaking of that, no better timing than this. Big Ten Media Days are out. Our good buddy Doug LaMaurice put out a Big Ten preseason poll. Where did the Buckeyes finish among the folks who cover that conference? We will get to it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
Sup, Jew?
Sponsored by Apex Pros.
The pros who knows.
And here's what's up on the final Monday in July. Big Ten Media Days starting tomorrow at the downtown Hilton Hotel in Chicago, which is exactly where they should be. It's just you feel it when you walk into that place. Historic hotel. It's a great old hotel, decent location, and centrally located for a conference that continues to be primarily in the Midwest. But when you look at the schedule for this week, you're also reminded of how this league has changed. For example, it all begins tomorrow. You will have Matt Campbell at Penn State. They will be at the podium. You will have Iowa. You will have Illinois. You will have Wisconsin and Luke Fickell. You will have Rutgers, and you will have USC going tomorrow. Then you get into a First Friday. That's when you're going to find your Buckeyes and their availability. Michigan State will be on that day, Minnesota on that day. Both Ohio State and Oregon go First Friday. So those are your two headliners of the league this year. They will go First Friday. Purdue and UCLA will be joined as well. Defending national champion Indiana. Wow. Still crazy to say out loud. They will go Thursday and anchor that. They are the glamour program for Thursday. Maryland is Thursday as well. Nebraska is Thursday. Northwestern is Thursday. Washington is Thursday. And Michigan is Thursday as well. So, by the way, a lot to talk about with Kyle Whittingham in that situation with everything that happened and transpired last week at Michigan. So that is their schedule for Big Ten Media Days. Doug LaMaurice has been doing this for forever. He used to do it at Cleveland.com. He does it on the Bill and Doug Show now. He does his annual preseason Big Ten power poll. He polled 46 people who cover this league about how they thought this league would finish 1 through 18. I am not at all surprised at who is at the bottom. Purdue is 18. Rutgers ended up 17. At the top, Ohio State ends up the number one predicted Big Ten championship team. However, Oregon is just a shade behind them and actually has more first place poll votes than the Buckeyes. 20 voters picked Oregon to win the league. I jostled with those two. Ohio State had 19 votes. Indiana received 7. They were predicted to finish 3rd by a great number of folks who cover that league. USC was 4th, Michigan 5th, Washington 6th, Penn State 7, Iowa 8, Illinois 9, then Minnesota, Nebraska, UCLA, Wisconsin. My God, does Luke survive that? He finishes 13th in the league. Northwestern 14th as they move into their new stadium. Maryland 15, Michigan State 16, Rutgers 17, and Purdue 18. Maryland and Rutgers have been in this league for over a decade. Nothing's changed. They're the exact same programs they were when they came in. Absolutely no improvement by either one of them over the course of that decade. Your offensive preseason Big Ten player of the year, according to Doug's poll, Jeremiah Smith with 33 first place votes. Dante Moore was 2nd. Julian Sayin was 3rd on that list. Defensive player of the year, Amari Washington, Oregon, received 10 first place votes. Anthony Smith, Minnesota, received 8. He was 2nd. Coy Perch of Oregon, the safety, was 3rd. The only Buckeye in the top 10 or so was Kenyatta Jackson. He had 1 first place vote, and he was 7th on that list. When you look at the list, the defensive players of the year specifically, you see the incredible amount of Oregon talent that is on there. I ended up picking the Buckeyes to win the Big Ten. Some of that was sentimental. Some of that is, I think people are sleeping on Sayin a little bit. I picked Julian to win offensive player of the year in the league as well. I'm not surprised that it's Oregon. Would not be at all surprised if Oregon wins the league this year and wins the Big Ten Conference. Their schedule isn't quite as daunting as Ohio State's is, and they're loaded. They really are. And when you look at the defensive side of the ball specifically, you see the incredible abundanza of talent that is going to be wearing the green and yellow this year up at Oregon. Any surprises there in that order of finish? What jumps out to you guys?
I was a little surprised how much Jeremiah Smith got offensive player of the year voting over Dante Moore.
Sure.
Because of how much love Dante Moore is getting at the next level. And I don't think they do it the way it's like the national awards go, but like this feels a quarterback thing where if you're going into the season, you look at Dante, you look at Julian, even Josh Hoover, the quarterback out of Indiana. And, you know, for Jeremiah, you're always going to have to rely on that quarterback. So that's where I would have thought going into the preseason, it would be more onus on. I'm just glad to see that they reflect what we all kind of know, and that the best offensive player in the Big Ten, likely in college football, is Jeremiah. So surprised, but glad, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we know he's the best.
Yes, he's the best player in college football. Yep.
I'm with you on that, Reese. I was kind of surprised that Jeremiah got 33 and that the quarterbacks Moore and Sayin didn't get a little more, just because it's a quarterback world we live in. I'm also a little surprised, and they were super close, and they should be. I was a little surprised that Oregon wasn't number one in this, and obviously they had more first place votes. But it sounds like there were a couple people that maybe thought Oregon would finish third or fourth or fifth in the Big Ten, because when it all evens out, Ohio State becomes the number one team there. So that was a... I'm not sold on this. I know you like more. I'm not sold on USC.
I know you're not.
Being the fourth best team in the Big Ten. The problem is, who is the fourth best team in the Big Ten, I guess?
That's the thing. Like,
you got to pick somebody.
Yeah, it's easy to go, you know, Ohio State, Oregon, pick whoever you want, one or two. I think most people think they're going to be one or two. I said there was somebody who had one vote for Indiana. Okay, fine. Give the defending national champions their respect, and they deserve all of it. Okay, those three. But then who do you put four? If this isn't the year for USC to be four, then when will it ever be? I mean, is it Matt Campbell at Penn State? Can he take all those Cyclones or make them Nittany Lions and flip that program and get them to a point where they can have two Big Ten losses and that'd probably be good enough to finish fourth? Is it Kyle Whittingham with a quarterback that to me doesn't feel like fits what he wants to do, and certainly from a personality standpoint probably doesn't? Is he going to do that at Michigan right out of the gates? I don't see it. Or is it going to be one of the holdovers? Is this Bielema? Is this Ferentz at Iowa or Illinois? Those are probably the safer bets because of the consistency.
Going back to your Michigan thing, I heard some rumblings and rumors this weekend for the first time that maybe Bryce Underwood's going to get beat out for that job.
I don't know how you can do it, but... I don't know either. It's going to be... I've thought about that one a lot. Will Whittingham be even able to be... Here's the thing. Who's going to walk into Kyle Whittingham and say, yeah, you got to play this kid? He doesn't seem to be the type of coach that would take to that.
Your athletic director that's on the way out?
That's on the way...
That's going to be like a consultant?
Yeah, which boot for $7 million. God, college athletics. Which super booster who paid the $10 million to get the kid walks in and said, look, dude, I paid for him. He's playing. It doesn't surprise me. Go ahead, Reese.
I was going to say, does the Oracle guy roll in on like a video screen? Like they roll him in on a hologram projector and he says, you're playing him because we paid him. He's not obviously going to show up, right? But yeah, I forgot Portnoy helped out with this a little bit, right?
That's the problem. It's like, who do you put there? Like, you could make the case for Washington, Jed Fish going into year three, Damon Williams forced to come back. Like, if he wasn't forced to come back, you probably would have said, okay, like, was the sliding doors on that? And it's funny, all this stuff comes rushing back. Was the sliding doors on that as simple as Damon Williams couldn't transfer to Oregon, and so they just paid Dante Moore to stay?
Probably.
Was it that simple? Because everybody thought he was going to Oregon. Damon Williams was going to Oregon. Dante Moore was going to the NFL. And it didn't happen. And now Dante's back. To your point on the Oregon schedule, I picked Ohio State number one in this thing. Looking at the Oregon schedule, it's really hard not to pick them. Very, very difficult. Boise State, at Oklahoma State, Portland State, at USC, UCLA, Nebraska, at Illinois, Northwestern at home, at Ohio State, Michigan at home, at Michigan State, Washington. So the travel's kind of crazy, as it always is, especially in November for them, but very navigable. Very, very navigable for the Ducks when you look at this schedule. So nothing surprising there. If some of this stuff comes to form, though, Matt Rhule going into year three, it was at Nebraska, or year four at Nebraska, predicted to finish 11th. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin, predicted to finish 13th. You mentioned the job Pat Fitzgerald has ahead of him. Greg Schiano back at Rutgers, predicted to finish 17th. Man. How do some of those cats keep their jobs? Go ahead, Reese.
Michigan State, when we talked to a Michigan State guest on Friday, he said there's patience there with him. the rest of them hate each other. Like the board hates the athletic director who doesn't like the president. And Tom Izzo hates everybody else. But with the boosters and Pat Fitzgerald, there's like a, all right, this is going to be brutal. This is going to be a brutal season, but you've got a year to at least be competitive. And I mean, if he could do it at Northwestern, the thinking is maybe there's a chance. For Michigan, though.
It is. The Michigan thing's crazy. You mentioned the point on Michigan State, though, Reese. This is why when we always talk about them, we said they are kind of a sleeping giant in the Big Ten if they want to be.
Yeah.
Because as we know, they have the money. If they can get organized and get their people to row in the same direction, they have the money.
It was interesting because there's the family who owns Acrisure, who put $400 million towards Spartan Athletics. Mm-hmm. But our guest on Friday didn't really know where all of that would go. Like, some of it's going to, $100 million, I think, is going to a new facility. Then you've got $300 million that I think they're still trying to figure out what to do with. Which, that's not, I mean, if I'm Pat Fitzgerald, I don't want to be part of any of this anyway, other than just coaching football. But I would be in the offices of the athletic department every day saying, we need more. We need more. We need more. We need more. And I don't know if Fitz is the guy to do that.
And here's the thing that's so sobering. If you're Michigan State with Pat Fitzgerald, if you're Wisconsin with Luke Fickell, if you're Nebraska with Matt Rhule, if you're any of those places, hell, if you're Minnesota with PJ, if you're any of those places, you look up and you look at your coach, if you're one of the alumni base, and you look up and you say, they just did it at Indiana. What's your problem? And if you're the coach, you say, you give me those funds and I can get there. But that's all it is now. We saw that last week with the running back from who ended up at Tennessee. This is the world we're playing in now. It's who's got the most money, who's ready to spend it, and away you go. And so some of these programs are ready. But some interesting stuff with Doug's poll. The last question on it was, how many Big Ten teams will make the playoff, 2, 3, 4, or 5? I picked 4. That was the overwhelming number, was 4 Big Ten teams would make it. And that ended up with 25. 3 was 20 votes. 5 just had the 1 vote. Well, guess what, kids? Your Uncle Bo was wrong again. We'll delve into this coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
You feel that? The season is getting closer. Buckeye football comes your way in 40 days. Every game, every season. Proud to be your flagship home for Ohio State football. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Well, indeed it is, and homes in Columbus under constant attack by pests like termites, ants, or mice. Don't wait for an invasion. Protect your property and family with Rose Pest Solutions Home Service Program. The Rose Home Service Program provides year-round protection for one flat annual fee with regularly scheduled visits. Rose is local, family-owned, and trusted by your neighbors in Ohio for 165 years. Get peace of mind. Call 800-966-ROSE or visit rosepestsolutions.com. I don't know if I was the first to say it. I never heard anybody say it before I said it, and that's the best I can do on this. Years ago, when LeBron went to Miami the first time, I said, when AR and I were doing the show, this is the AAUification of the NBA. And my reason for saying that was LeBron grew up in a full-on AAU environment. And what happens in AAU is the best players want to play together. They don't necessarily want to play against each other. They want to play together and be on a super team. And in many instances, what I see in youth sports even now is kids would rather be a kid who doesn't play on one of the best teams than a kid who's one of the best players on a middling team. And the reason for that is status, simply put. It's just the status of it. And so he did that the first time with Miami, and then he came back and he won it. And then he went to LA, and that made sense to me as well, because I thought, all right, he's going to live the rest of his life in Los Angeles, go be a Laker and try to go down in history there. Maybe I should have seen this coming. But I didn't. I didn't. I thought there were a couple of things that, made some sense. Number one, return home to Cleveland. That's a team that was in the Eastern Conference Finals. If you could be the guy who could return them back, the fact that he spent 2 weeks playing golf at Firestone and Portage Lakes and Portage and all these places up in Northeast Ohio. And the fact that he put it out on his social, it just seemed like he was, I just saw no scenario where he was going to do it to those folks again. And I do think this one kind of has that feel to it. Not as much, obviously, but I think that this is going to be a tough one for him to come back to. Then I thought maybe Miami. Okay. I didn't like the basketball fit. Not enough shooters. But go back to Miami. He's won there. I think he's still probably liked a lot there. You could still, when I was down there a few years ago, you could still buy his jersey in the team shop. And then the other one was the Wild Hogs with the Warriors. Go play with Steph and have a little bit of fun. Reese's dream. I didn't think this. I didn't think at age 42, he would take a 2-year, $8 million deal to go chase a ring in Philly. A town where he has no connections, for a franchise with which he has no connections, that at age 42, he's still trying to like win an AAU title. This one made no sense to me at this stage in his life. Basketball, yeah, it makes sense. He will help them. He'll be a role player on a team that is really good. And provided they have health, should be a team that can contend. But if they don't win the title, then what just happened here? He's now in a situation where, like, if he doesn't, then you just randomly played your last 2 years in Philadelphia? Reese, how did this land for you?
I'm disappointed is the word I'm going to use. I'm not mad. It's fine. It's totally fine. This is a rings thing. He's counting rings. Mm-hmm. He's got four. He thinks if in the next 2 years he can win one, he's one closer to Jordan.
I guess.
And this is the best roster to do that, I think. Provided they stay healthy, and I don't think Cleveland offered him enough in terms of competitive talent that can win. The James Harden thing's an albatross. Darius Garland, there was that reporting from Wendy over the weekend where James wasn't thrilled with the talent that Cleveland had and that they had traded Garland for James Harden because Garland's a clutch guy. And that's a fine piece to it, but I just don't think, I think he saw Cleveland and said that's not enough. And as a Cavs fan, I look at Cleveland now and I say, all right, you put all your eggs in the LeBron basket. It didn't work out. You do not have enough.
No.
It's really bad for the Cavs that they lost out on this. But entertaining that the Sixers have LeBron with everything else that you have in the East.
By the way, if they still had Garland, it would have made more basketball sense because Garland is an elite catch shooter. So it would have made more basketball sense. Like the Harden thing doesn't make any basketball sense.
I got it at the moment because it was a desperation move.
Sure.
Because you couldn't rely on Garland to be there for you. Again, now knowing what I know now, of course I want to go back and be like, yeah, don't get James Harden. He stinks, but you can't. So you have Harden. That extension announcement's going to hit like a brick in the crotch. But he's going to look good LeBron will in that Sixers blue. Oof. I'll give him that.
So weird.
It's going to be weird.
Maybe we should have seen this when the report came out that if the Knicks hadn't won a championship, mm-hmm. that he would have went there. This is as much, I believe, about chasing championships as it is chasing a championship for a team that hasn't won one in a while. Because I think he probably thinks that's going to help his legacy a lot. Like if the Knicks hadn't won a championship and LeBron went that's there next year and they won a championship, he's revered in New York forever. If he goes to Philadelphia and they have a great, you know, they had a Jaylen Brown. They already had Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid. They lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. If he goes to Philly and wins them their first championship since what, 1980?
Yeah.
He's revered forever in Philadelphia.
So you guys remember before I went on holiday, I said that if he's looking to be revered every single home game, then the place to do that is Cleveland. The point you just made, Bake, is an astute one. He will be beloved every game he plays in Philly. He will be beloved in Philly forever, but only if they win it all. Only if they win it all. And the irony of this whole damn thing is if Brad Stevens doesn't give him Jaylen Brown for a bucket of balls, this probably doesn't happen. It probably doesn't happen. And I think you're probably right on the Knicks side of it in that he was looking for, and I think you're both right, Reese, because you're talking about him chasing rings. He's not talking about rings. And you've heard his camp say this before. Winning one in Cleveland is like winning three anywhere else.
Yep, he wants that legacy somewhere else, too.
Yeah, he wants a legacy ring. He'll never be able, like, no one in L.A. is ever going to care about him. Never. He'll live there. No one's going to care. I do think that he will be booed in Cleveland, which is something that hasn't happened since his first 2 years in Miami. He hasn't been booed in Cleveland since his first 2 years in Miami. He'll be booed there now, bigly. I think he'd be booed in L.A., even though they wanted him out. So, be booed in Miami. That's going to be part of it as well. So, he'll have all of those things. I was stunned. I was floored. Beamsy popped up on Beamsy's Instagram, of all things, while I'm driving through Glacier Park last, I don't know, was it Thursday or whenever it was? And I said, I had to pull over. What are you kidding? He went to Philly?
Yeah, he said,
of all places?
After they got swept out of it was a Western Conference semifinal. He's like, I considered retiring. It's like, no, you didn't, LeBron.
No.
Everybody knew you were at least going to be there for another season.
And it is gross how they used all of this to prop up Rich. I mean, he's dating Adele. You've won, guys. You're one. You don't need to pump up your podcast with Kellerman. Like, just ridiculous, all of that. It was all off-putting. All right, second hour of the program coming up next. A lot happening in the college football world. Austin Ward at 10:30. We'll blitz the weekend up next. Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The second leg in the battle for the Ohio Cup begins in Cincinnati Monday. Reds host the Guardians tonight at 7. You can hear it on The Fan Monday following the Buckeye Show. Cleveland enters on a 5-game losing streak while the Reds have won 3 straight series. Cincinnati beat St. Louis Sunday 5-3. Cleveland was shut out in Tampa. In the NFL, the Browns and Bengals begin training camp tomorrow. Next Thursday is the Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Cardinals and Panthers. We're 33 days away from the start of the college football season. North Carolina and Texas Christian start the year in Dublin, Ireland, August 29th. It was announced earlier today, North Carolina put general manager Mike Lombardi on paid administrative leave. Head coach Bill Belichick will address the media after practice Thursday. This update is sponsored by High Bank Distillery Co. Locally inspired dishes and award-winning cocktails. Visit highbankco.com to make your reservation today. Dine, drink, distill at High Bank. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour on a Monday edition of the program. Time to blitz that weekend. Hit it, fellas.
Bishop and Friends present a weekend sports blitz.
Sponsored by Metal Supermarkets. Visit metalsupermarkets.com/Columbus for all your metal needs.
All right, I believe I had that. Reese, what'd you have?
North Carolina football stinks. They hired Bill Belichick and they made all that hullabaloo about the NFL
sure
pathway, the 33rd team, whatever it was. Yeah. And it's like, guys, we have that here in Columbus more so than any place else in the country. And the news about Mike Lombardi, like $1.5 million you're paying this guy. Well, I mean, you're paying him to not do anything now because he's on paid administrative leave.
And wait, whoa. I was unplugged. What did I miss?
So Mike Lombardi, general manager of the North Carolina Tar Heels football team, was put on paid administrative leave. Sometime in the last couple of days, the team announced it this morning. He's reportedly making $1.5 million to be the general manager of a Tar Heel football team that stinks.
Do we know why he was put on leave?
I haven't been able to find anything.
Wow. Yeah, they have no comment as of
they will have no comment. They've got practice Thursday. Bill Belichick's going to speak or is supposed to speak after that. He'll not say anything. It's been nothing but a train wreck, but I think we all saw this coming as soon as they made the call.
Lombardi's a snake, man. Everywhere he goes. $1.5 million.
Good gig if you can get it.
How about Brad Crawford had this tweet. The last 18 months for North Carolina football, all of the Jordan Hudson stuff.
Yeah.
The parents call out toxic culture and then this Lombardi thing with paid leave. That's a lot for a football program that's even one of the best in the country, let alone a middling at best football program.
Jeez. Vic?
I believe I had that alumni weekend in my hometown of Grove City is undefeated. Even though I don't play in the softball tournament anymore, it was great to go out there and watch some friends play, see old friends that maybe I only even see once a year. And some of my best friends in life, and they may not have been people that I graduated with, but are people that I played softball with growing up and through my formative years in 20s and 30s, and all of us got into playing because of that alumni tournament, so I wouldn't have some of those friendships if it wasn't for that, so it's just a great time.
I believe I had that. So my dad took NBC and Bootsy. They went riding horse a couple of times. My dad has three horses that we've ridden for the longest time that are awesome, that you have nothing to worry about ever with them. They're just good dudes. Beamsy, after what happened to me last year, he's out. He's done. He's done riding horse. He's done. I don't know if you've ever convinced him back of it. So day one, my dad saddles, I saddled along with him, two of them, and NBC and Bootsy rode two of them, and he rode the other one that's a really good horse. So Saturday, on the morning we're about to leave, I noticed that he's not saddling one of the really good horses. And I go, Dad, what are you doing? Like, the boys, it's just a quick ride. Like, they just want to go for a quick ride, no incident. And he pulls out this one that's kind of half broke, and he goes, she needs to be ridden. Maybe not now. Maybe she doesn't need to be ridden now. Along two kids have ridden less than, Bootsy's ridden less than 10 times his entire life. So immediately the horse is acting up and it's bouncing around, and he's 78 years old, for God's sakes. The horse is bouncing around, it's jumping and stuff. They survived, they get back. And I go to NBC, I go, how did it go? He goes, Dad, it was insane. Grandpa's lucky he wasn't bucked off. And I said, yeah, I've guess what that sounds like, buddy. 40 years ago when I was here, in my experiences, absolutely nothing has changed with the old man. I did not have that. What did you not have, Reese?
I did not have that the Cavs had a backup just in case LeBron spurned them. 31-year-old Mario Hezonja.
Jeez.
The fifth overall pick in the 2015 draft by the Orlando Magic. He hasn't played in the league since 2020. In 2022, he said he was, quote, not going to return to the NBA. Adding, quote, I didn't get the respect I deserved. Also, in my opinion, the NBA is more of a show than the game itself, end quote. The return of the king, I guess, in a sense.
Jeez, yeah.
In his own mind.
Yeah.
I did not have that I would play maybe the best golf that I've played in the last definitely 3 years, maybe 4 or 5 years yesterday. Let it get away from me a little bit on the back nine, shot a 39 on the front, ended up shooting an 84 for the day.
Oh.
But I also did something, Bo, I don't know if I've ever done before in my life. I hit every par three green off the tee. I don't know if I've ever done that. So it was a good day on the golf course. And I mean, most days on the golf course are a good day, regardless of how you play. But it was a good day playing wise yesterday. And those are few and far between now.
Good job out of you, buddy. I did not have this. So we went to a part of Montana that I'd never been to before, way, way, way northwest corner. And up there was a lake called Lake Coconusa, which I'd never been on before. It's a 90-mile lake. It is really about half of it in Montana and half of it in British Columbia. And the border, the only way you know that you crossed the border, and we didn't cross it, but the only way you know that you did, they have tree line cut the forest. So you could see the border, you know, cut out of the forest. The most stunning mountain lake I've ever been on in my life, and I've been on a lot of them. Had a pontoon boat, sand beaches. There's also almost nobody there. In fact, the people who are, they're going to be pissed off I'm even talking about it. But it was a stunning, stunning lake. 90 miles long, absolutely pristine and stunning. Player who impressed, Reese?
I'm just going to go with the two people who over the weekend jumped off the Space Needle in Seattle.
Oh, geez.
I don't know if you saw the video of this, but they were free divers or free base jumpers, and they had parachutes on, but they get a ticket, take the elevator all the way to the top, and then climb over the barriers, and there's video of this everywhere. The one guy almost does like a shooting star press as he's jumping off the Space Needle. They're okay. Police are looking for him. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's nuts.
For me, it's 21-year-old Jackson Koivin. He was making his third PGA professional start. And he won the whole damn thing at the 3M Open. He shot a 25, which was a tournament record. 24 under was the previous course or tournament record for that. He also, and I know Scottie Scheffler was way back and had a great round, but Scottie Scheffler was there, finished second place. The pressure could have got to him. 21-year-old, nerves of steel, no problem.
Player who impressed for me, so NBC is 14 and he's never driven a car, and I said, what better place? So I look out at the various vehicles at my dad's place, and I said, I see a 1975 Chevy Cheyenne, a kind of a butterscotch color, a tan, light tan cream butterscotch color. It's the car, one of the cars that I drove a lot when I was in high school, and it's still sitting there. And so I said, we're taking that sucker. So we hop in it. The steering is wildly loose. Like, whatever power steering you think you have, this maybe had it at one point. It don't have much of it now. We hop in the car. It's 98 degrees. I go to roll down the window. My dad goes, yeah, that's one of the problems. The windows don't roll down. Okay, great. So we take off on gravel roads, and I got to give the kid credit. We didn't go in the ditch. We didn't go in the ditch. So a good job out of NBC on driving it. I can tweet out a photo of that as well. Player who disappointed, Reese?
The entire Cleveland Guardians roster, and that includes Jose Ramirez. And I don't think they've won a game since he's returned from a broken hand. And it's not all his fault. I mean, they can't buy a run. They got shut out Saturday and Sunday by the Tampa Bay Rays, who are really good. But you're riding a five-game losing streak into Cincinnati tonight for the second leg in the battle for the Ohio Cup.
Bo, real quick, this from Pete Thamel. The Mike Lombardi paid leave stems from a human resources complaint filed by a former UNC front office employee. So a little bit there. Player who disappointed for me, it was going to be Cincinnati FC for their antics at the end of the Crew game that led to the locker room tussle between the two. But I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. They have just recently released a, I think they're calling it Nickel City uniform for this year. It's really bad. Really bad.
Especially coming off of what the Rams did with those, with the fearsome foursomes, and then you're going to drop those. Player do disappointed. My dad's tipping is just an abomination. Let's just say the 20% jump as the baseline has not reached his mindset. So, well, we'll just leave it at that. Just brutal. Absolutely brutal. I took care of it the second day, but day one, I just was just ridiculous. Bud Kilmer, honorary coach of the week, Reese.
Columbus Crew interim head coach Laurent Courtois. I think I did that correctly.
Sure.
Crew beat FC Cincinnati 2-1 Saturday, and the players for the black and gold weren't taking anything from FC Kentucky. And so, look, you don't ever want to see too much of a fight, but look, if it's getting heated at the end of the game and they're trying some dirty tactics, you don't take it. And if they ask you, hey, meet us in the locker room or meet us in the hallway after, go meet them. Good job out of you, Columbus Crew.
He's not a coach, but Mike Gansey gets it for me for what he's done with the Philadelphia 76ers.
Sure.
Getting Jaylen Brown, getting LeBron on a two-year, $8 million. I never thought LeBron would take a pay cut, but he sure did. And I think the 76ers might be the favorite.
Gansey, Northeast Ohio guy, too, right? Olmsted Falls, I believe.
Yeah, was for with sure, the Cavs man. Before he headed off to Philly.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one to me because I did the tabulations on this. This summer, driving from here to Indianapolis, Richmond, Virginia, Bel Air, Maryland, and all over Northwest Montana, I drove 2,754 miles. I did so with kids fighting in the back and sometimes potentially lost my temper. No accidents. No even threat of an accident. So a million good stories, but somehow we survived. That I blew my mind, the amount of miles that were driven this summer chasing lacrosse and then driving all over Montana. Coming up next, a little bit of breaking news on the North Carolina side of things. A lot happening in the college football world, including the Buckeyes landing their future quarterback. Potentially, we will get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid for the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe a few showers and thunderstorms. Better chances likely to be off to our west. Overnight, though, better chance of thunderstorms area-wide. Those may produce gusty winds, lows around 70. Storm chance ends early on Tuesday, then partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. They've all been paid by the Cleveland Browns. This is Bishop and Friends.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
He knows everything about the Buckeyes. He's been offered tens of dollars by a certain team to spill his secrets. He's told that certain team to go to hell.
Damn you all to hell!
He's Austin Ward.
Sponsored by Wright Pack Credit Union.
Of course, he is on the beat with Austin and Burm and the Roosters live show on YouTube as well. And he joins on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Buddy, good to talk to you. You and I have not chatted since the DGG to Tennessee. I know that that's been litigated and you guys have talked about it a million times, and we can talk about the reasons why it happened. I think it's all pretty obvious and fair, by the way. It's all fair. There are no rules. Do whatever you need to do. And rubbing is racing, as it were. What I am curious about is, do you think that this will change the way Ohio State pursues talent from a time spent perspective?
That's a really interesting question, Bo. And I think every recruitment that you're in, just like every game that Ohio State plays, they're going to have to look back and self-scout, self-evaluate, and see if that was the most prudent approach, if it was the right approach. And I think when it comes to this particular recruitment, I don't know that it will dramatically change plans, because if we're looking at the 3 or 4 weeks that built up to the David Gabriel George commitment to Tennessee, you're seeing 4 and 5 stars across the country in key positions, defensive end, defensive tackle, offensive line, signing up. And that, you know, it, some of it has been allocation of resources for this class. Now, that's none of that is to say that spending 2 full years banking on this particular talent, this particular running back, that was now wasted time or wasted effort, because I still think, and I said this beforehand, I think I mentioned it to you last week, if they don't win that recruitment when it wasn't trending that way, there's no shortage of players that are going to be aware of the quote-unquote salary cap availability at Ohio State, what they're willing to spend. And that includes transfer portal players just as much as it does people in the recruiting class. So I think if you're going to go big game hunting, you don't want to find yourself in head-to-head battles with desperate programs, you know, like Tennessee. And this has happened multiple times, basically one in each of the last 3 years. You know, the way that Carlos Lachlan approached the Legend Bay recruitment, for example, every message that he pitched resonated and got through and trumped the money and trumped the family extension guaranteed, you know, delivery bonuses and whatever else is going on there. And Legend Bay really, you know, this is where he wanted to be and the coach that he wanted to play for. Didn't work out for David Sanders, and it didn't work out for David Gabriel George. But, you know, you can't be afraid to be in those battles. And I don't know that they did anything wrong with the way that they approached this recruitment. And it may well find itself open again if Josh Heupel struggles the way many people think that Tennessee will this year. That could change the dynamic. Or, you know, you spend all this time investing it up front, and you get a second crack potentially in the transfer pool. None of that's meant to be a silver lining or solace for Carlos Lachlan or Ryan Day or Mark Fantoni, but I don't know that this particular one is going to force a dramatic reevaluation of the way they've handled business, because by and large, it's still been working this summer.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing, and I've heard Ryan say this, I know you've heard him say this, you know, they keep a good, there's no like sour milk with them when somebody doesn't, you know what I mean? Like they keep the relationship because you never know. Look what you just outlined there. Not to say that this kid will ever end up here. My guess is that probably never. He'll probably play Tennessee, go somewhere else. But you never know how that could sour at Tennessee. And look, it happened with Julian, right?
Yes.
Stay there.
I think too, Bo, that there has been a little bit of change in that, because you and I have heard that message from Ryan Day and the second chances and the value of those relationships. I would argue that as competitive as he was early on in his tenure at Ohio State, there were, spilled milk, sour grapes situations, and players were not as likely to get a second chance from him if they wound up going to an SEC school. Now, this is pre-NIL. If they were chasing money in those scenarios, that was not a scenario really that I think Ryan Day and Mark D'Antoni would want to revisit, and pretty much, didn't. I know for sure that that applies to a handful of players who may have wanted to get back in the transfer portal and found that door was blocked and locked and closed. But anymore, and I think you can look at Julian Thane, you mentioned, that goes for Caleb Downs. Mm-hmm. It goes for Taiwan Malone at Ole Miss. I mean, it certainly Trey Sermon. Coming back for that 1 year, that was well down the road, and those doors were still open for a return at that time. So Ohio State understands the landscape right now, and I think even if you gave Carlos Lachlan a microphone or truth serum or both, he would say, I understand why David Gabriel George is going to Tennessee, but he doesn't, I think he still believes there'll be a chance down the road for them to reunite because I believe in his heart of hearts that he thinks David Gabriel George wants to play at Ohio State, but that's not going to happen right now. There has been a shift in that where I think it, if you'd asked me that same question 8 years ago, I'd say that's it. You'll never see him at Ohio State. And they will end all communication. I don't think that will be the case at all with David Gabriel George and Carlos Lachlan.
No, me either. It sounds like you're headed to Chicago. Do I have that right?
That is correct. Berman, I will be. We're going to head over. He loves, as everyone knows, cars over flights. So we're going to head most of the way over this evening. Now he's already concerned about the chance of bad storms, and I don't know. I can't get around that even when we're driving. But we're going to head over tonight so that we can be there for Tony Patini tomorrow because we rarely hear from the commish bow.
Yep. Tell me about it, brother. Tell me about it. And he's got a lot to say, especially after SEC Media Days last week and the response to all of that. Buckeyes are going to talk on Wednesday. But, of course, one of the beautiful things is you get the entire league in one spot. And I know you're going to be checking in on a lot of things. Outside of the Petiti presser, what other programs are you most curious about as we head into this season? And what coaches are you most excited to listen in on their availabilities?
I'm always most excited to listen to Brett Bielema, and I don't know if I'm just in a minority there. He becomes a punching bag. He is, I think, the Big Ten's best truth teller, and he's not afraid
I think you're right.
to speak his mind, take his shots. Some people don't like that. I love it because if you think back to the Connor Stallion situation, there was one coach primarily out front saying that this isn't right, and sometimes it'd be jokes and sometimes it'd be serious, but it would all point to what was an issue that coaches around the league were scared to speak out about. Brett Bielema did that and Greg Schiano did that. I give them no shortage of credit for that because no one was going to listen to only Ryan Day make that pitch. All that is to say, I still think Illinois is a fascinating team. I know that their coach is entertaining. That's a game relatively early in Ohio State's schedule that we saw them get into a little bit of a dogfight in the second half. They're a sneaky team. He's one that I would never miss that press conference. I always joke on the beat that he's the coach in this league that I'd most like to have one or several beers with and talk about the state of college football. So don't know if that will happen in Chicago, but I'm gonna hear from him. And, of course, I believe I don't know if they're kicking off on Thursday or not, but, it is strange to me that Kyle Whittingham is in this league. The program that he's leading, it was back, 23 years ago that I was covering him against Joe Glenn in Utah and Wyoming games, and it just felt like he would never be anywhere else. And, there's so much going on with that program, and Tony Patini was asked about, sanctions and fines and stuff for the Wolverines a year ago. Some of that conversation has obviously dissipated, but now we're still in the midst of this very, very bizarre Ward Manuel situation. I wonder how the league feels about that. And I wonder how Kyle Whittingham feels about that, given that he just took that job when he could have very easily coasted off into retirement from Salt Lake City. So they're always at the top of that list. But When I'm power ranking press conferences, I may be one of the few in this league that puts Brett Bielema right below Ryan Day.
No, you're with. I'm with you. I'm with you. And we love Coach Day, but Brett's even better on the mic. Like, he's just.
Yeah,
he just always truth, sir. I mean, he just is. He's just, it is. I wish he was at a better program. Sorry, Fish. I wish he was at a better program so he could be like I'd love if he was at Penn State. You know what I mean? That would be fun. Yeah. All right. There's no guarantee you're going to get the mic. I'm sure that you will. But what is the one question you want to ask Petitti, or you hope gets asked to Petitti, and you hope he answers honestly?
So I know he's going to get asked about the legislation and NIL and all those other things. So I would actually like to hear him specifically outline which 24 team proposal he's actually in favor of. Cause I've heard a number of different models. He got all the coaches in lockstep with that a couple months ago at the Big Ten meetings. I still don't know definitively what exact version of that Tony Petitti wants the most. And maybe he doesn't know, which is why we're not seeing them actually put out press releases detailing proposals and what they're standing for. I understand that he wants 24. He has for quite some time. There was also the conversation several years ago about the championship weekend in the Big Ten and 1-2 and 3-6 for 4-5 and all these things to get in, AQ bids here and there. Mm-hmm. I would just like him to, and I don't think he will, even if we ask, what is it that you want the college football playoff to look like? I don't think he would answer that, which is part of the problem where I think that this league has a PR issue at the top, and they need to do a much better job publicly advocating for themselves. That will include all those other things that we mentioned, the less fun parts of dealing with Congress, dealing with rules, breakaway things that, you know, Greg Sankey talked about last week. And all that stuff is important, not saying it's not. I know it'll be covered by many of the national folks there, but it's the last several weeks, it's almost felt like the CFP expansion has been put on the back burner of conversation. And there's still going to be another deadline to make a decision on that. And I would like to know specifically what he wants that to look like so that everybody else can understand where we're potentially heading, because the Big Ten seems entrenched that it's going to fight for that until the very finish.
I hope we get honesty. My hunch, like yours, is that we won't, but that's a fascinating one as well. Drive safe over there, and you and Berm, man, you guys are like an old married couple. It's classic. I love it. Look forward to all the content this week, buddy.
All right, thanks, bud. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, there he goes. Mr. Austin Ward, The Beat with Austin Berm and the Roosters Live Show on YouTube. Time for a little thing or not a thing coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB, nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
From a listener, what exactly is Common Man and Timmy supposed to be? How can I put this?
A couple of immature men who love to have mindless conversation, laugh, and dabble in sports.
And farts.
Weekdays at 3.
And there you go, The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Monday. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
All right, so this morning, the president has reportedly urged Senate Republicans to cancel their month-long August break until they pass some pieces of legislation that he cares about. I don't know if this is one of them, but the Protect College Sports Act was ruled dead last week as Majority Leader John Thune said that they weren't just going to have time to vote on everything.
No kidding.
Because they never do, apparently, before this really crucial month-long break. From Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, an update on that bill and the negotiations of it. During a two-hour call Sunday, Senators Ted Cruz and Maria Cantwell continued negotiations with six conference commissioners and Notre Dame Athletic Director Pete Bavacqua. Jeez. They're committed to finalizing revised bill language today. Brandon Marcello echoed that reporting. With the addition, conversations over the last week have been productive, and there has generally been positive momentum towards finalizing a bill that the Big Ten and the SEC are more comfortable adopting. Thing or not a thing?
Not a thing. Not a thing. None of this is going anywhere. We are going to stay in a lawless world with a 12-team playoff because nobody can agree on what it should look like going forward. And my guess is, as we stand now, guys, that we're going to be in this spot until the next run of expansion, which probably won't be until 2028. And that's when you'll see maybe some changes. But I think we're going to be stuck in this world for a while. I believe we had all of this. Congress will not save you. And you can apply that to a lot of things, but they're definitely not saving you here.
Yeah, this is not a thing to me. I don't even know if this is baby steps towards something, quite frankly.
Me either.
Just wake me up when it's fixed and finished. But guess what? It's never going to be fixed and finished. And I think part of it they like that because it keeps us talking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it they like the dysfunction.
It's an August recess, but they don't come back until September 14th. So you're basically taking that month off, too. It's truly our best and brightest. Over the weekend, the Cardinals and Jacoby Brissett agreed to a raise of $15.5 million guaranteed for the upcoming season, $21 million if you include incentives. The 33-year-old Brissett was set to make $4.8 million before the new deal, but it does not add any years to the contract. Thing or not a thing.
This is the stupidest damn thing I've ever heard, and an example of how clueless NFL teams are. The Arizona Cardinals are tanking. They want to draft number one overall. Why would you just burn money to pay Jacoby Brissett? You already have Minshew there who could take all the snaps anyway. You could play Carson Beck. It doesn't matter. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, you want to be in a position to draft Arch Manning or Dante Moore or somebody of that ilk. You do not overpay Jacoby Brissett unless you just like... And I like Jacoby Brissett. Know him. Unless you just want like lighting money on fire. There is no sense to this whatsoever.
Maybe this is why the Arizona Cardinals are the Arizona Cardinals, because they let Jacoby Brissett hold them over a barrel. What's the difference between Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew? I'm pretty sure there really is none. No. They're very nice backup quarterbacks in the NFL, guys that could come in and even start a season for you if you needed them to. But that's it. Like, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I would rather throw Carson Beck out there this year. And maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with him. And you don't have to draft a quarterback number one. Now, I don't think that's the case, but why not just throw him out there? This makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Brissett last season, 1-11 as a starter. He threw for 3,300 yards, 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Across 14 games.
Crazy.
Over the weekend, ESPN's Ramona Shelburne reported LeBron and his son Bronny are not a package deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. ESPN says Bronny has no plans to try to force his way off the Lakers, and the team's staff, the Lakers staff, has a fondness for Bronny. LA picked up his option for next season. The expectations that he'll get a chance to compete for backcourt minutes during the preseason. Thing or not a thing?
I mean, this calculated thing for LeBron, right? Didn't he opt out of his Lakers deal after they re-signed Bronny? Wasn't that the deal? I think it was. So
the timeline, I think, is correct.
Yeah. And so, it's pretty amazing what he did with this decision to play in Philly. He basically nuked whatever was left of for a temporary standpoint, the fondness people in Cleveland have for him. He nuked the feeling the Lakers would have for him. He put his oldest son in a really tough spot in the team that he used to play for. His wife and daughter are going to stay in L.A., and he's going to live in New York and go back and forth to Philly. Is that the plan? Who the hell knows? Just all of it. None of it makes sense at this stage in his career to do this. I understand. I think you guys astutely point out the reasons why he did it. I get those things. I just didn't think that he'd be making decisions like this for those reasons at age 42.
I don't really think this is a thing. And this actually may be a good thing for Bronny. He's obviously always going to be linked with LeBron. It's his dad and whatnot, but it might be good for him to break away from his dad and earn a roster spot with the Lakers, and then maybe people won't think it's just nepotism all the time. Like, if he just follows LeBron to Philly, well, he's only got a roster spot because of who his dad is. But if he makes the Lakers, what reason do the Lakers have to keep him? So this could be a good thing for him and his future.
This was from earlier this morning. Stanford, the Cardinal, football players have formed a campus chapter of the College Football Players Association, making the Cardinal the first team to partner with the organization, which aims to eventually unionize college athletes. From ESPN's Dan Murphy, the players are not yet petitioning to form a union or be deemed employees, but the announcement Monday marks a first step toward building a structure for college athletes to collectively bargain like professional athletes. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a medium thing right now, but my lesson and what I would hope that administrators, college presidents, conference commissioners hear here is this. Get in front of this while you can. Get your arms around it while you can. Do it now so that you can do so from a position of power. Don't let something pop up organically and then try to keep up with it. At that point, you're cooked. Learn from the mistakes of the last 5 years. Collectively bargain this thing. Call it what it is, professional sports. Make sure you get a bigger percentage of the pie. Make sure that you have more power. Write the rules yourself before somebody else writes them for you.
Now, the only hope in there, Bo, is it's Stanford, and they're awful smart out there at Stanford. But
yeah,
come on now. You know they're not going to do this.
I know.
They are in the ACC, and according to the College Football Players Association Executive Director Jason Stahl, several other programs in that conference are, I guess, on the cusp of forming their own chapters. So interesting, we have the SMU Mustangs as one of our 20 most interesting programs at 11 o'clock today. A Wilt Chamberlain warm-up jacket, originally found at a Goodwill in Portland, Oregon, sold for $89,000 last week. So earlier in the year, a vintage reseller in Oregon found the jacket with Chamberlain on the back for $3. The reseller posted a photo online. The head of modern collectibles at Sotheby's got in touch and convinced him to co-sign the jacket. They're saying it was likely used in the 1971-72 season. The 72 NBA Finals was Chamberlain's second title, the first LA championship in Los Angeles. He was wearing that jacket during it. Thing or not a thing?
Massively cool thing. Massively cool thing. I love stories like this. Can you imagine just stumbling into it? It's 50-some years old. It's awesome. That's great. Good for the dude who found it. That's cool. Very cool story.
That is a huge and major thing. The only thing I dislike about this story, though, Bo,
yeah,
is somewhere this validates the stories all of our dads told us that, oh, your grandma threw out my baseball card. It was a Mickey Mantle rookie, and it's worth all this money, and I can't believe she did that. So somewhere, dad's stories everywhere have been validated with this.
They absolutely have. Yeah, hold on to all of that stuff, kids, because you never know what you have your hands on. Final hour of the program coming up next. It is the beloved Ponies, SMU. It's for now, and it's for what could happen in about 3 years. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. Big Ten Media Days begin tomorrow in Chicago. Representatives from all 18 teams will gather Tuesday through Thursday at the Downtown Hilton in the Windy City. Ryan Day, Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and Jalen McClain will meet with the media on Wednesday. Ohio State's going to hold training camp practices open to the fans next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're 33 days away from week zero in the sport. North Carolina and TCU go first in Dublin, Ireland. That's August 29th. Earlier today, the Tar Heels placed GM Mike Lombardi on paid administrative leave because of an HR complaint. The longtime NFL executive is reportedly making $1.5 million with the Tar Heels. Speaking of the NFL, the Browns and Bengals begin training camp tomorrow. Next Thursday is the Hall of Fame game in Canton. In baseball tonight, the Reds host the Guardians at 7. Second leg in the battle for the Ohio Cup. Cincinnati enters having won their last three series while Cleveland's on a 5-game slide. You can hear tonight's Reds-Guardians game after the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour on a Monday. 20 most interesting, the beloved ponies. Hit it, fellas.
We'll expand conferences. We'll expand the playoffs. But we'll never, ever expand our interests. Bishop and Friends present the 20 most interesting programs.
Oh, baby. The SMU Mustangs are today's recipient of the 20 most interesting programs tag. Bobby Bowden said this years ago when he was at Florida State, the football program's the front porch of the university. What he meant by that is, if the football program is good, the university will follow. You all witnessed that here in the early 2000s at Ohio State when Jim Tressel won a national championship in 2002. Applications to the school went up, and all of us, you meant, how many people out there listening can tell the story of how hard it is now to get into Ohio State versus how hard it was for them to get into Ohio State? It is night and day. And the reason for that, in large part, is because of what the football program did in 2002. The same thing is happening. It happened at Florida State. It is happening now at SMU. They are welcoming in their biggest freshman class ever. In terms of their increase in applications, it is up 60%. That is because what has happened on the football field has put them on the front burner now. It was always an elite public elite private institution in terms of academics, one of the top three schools in the state of Texas. That went without saying. But now that you have the football, now that you made the playoff in year one in the ACC, the stones it took to say, yeah, we don't need your money, we'll pay our own freight. And they have, and they won. They made the playoff in year one. In year two, they just missed it, but were in the vicinity of it. Finished 9-4 overall, 6-2 in the league. Finished ranked 16th in the country. Rhett Lashley is in year four with SMU. He went 7-6, 11-3, 11-3, and 9-4 during his 4 years there. In terms of returning starters, well, they got Kevin Jennings back. He's in his third year as the starting quarterback. He was brutal in that loss to Penn State in the playoff game a couple of years ago in that frigid day in Happy Valley. He is now entering his year three as the starter. They bring back 7 starters offensively, 4 starters defensively. We're pretty active in the transfer portal. They did lose a bunch of guys. Several guys transferred out. Almost 25 guys leave the roster. As I mentioned, they were 9-4, 6-2 in the ACC, beat Arizona 24-19 in the Holiday Bowl. Their 24/7 recruiting class ranking was 35th. Not great. Transfer class ranking 32nd. Combined ranking of those two was 30th. He is 14-2, Rhett Lashley is, in 2 seasons in the ACC. He has been courted bigly by SEC schools to come and join them. He has stayed. There was a great line I read a couple of weeks ago from a booster at SMU that said, trust us, you stick with us, we will take care of you, and they have. They have given him resources. $400 million has gone into the athletic department in the last couple of years at SMU. They've got money to spend. Everything that I loved about the Pony Express, the Pony Excess documentary back in the mid-80s, which made me just fall in love with the program, all of those things are now above board now. And this is something that I took note of, because we talked about this summer, guys. We had Paul on 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about who out of the ACC would the SEC have an interest in. He didn't mention Florida State. He didn't mention Clemson. He didn't mention Miami. He mentioned North Carolina and SMU. And if you're playing that same game, if you're Tony Petitti, and you're going to poach somebody out of the ACC, are you sure it's not these guys? You've got Dallas. You've got money. You've got all the things that come with it. This program, guys, went from 1986. They get the death penalty in 1987. They don't have another winning record. They don't have another season with more wins than losses until 2009. That is 22 seasons without a winning record. 22 seasons. They paid their own freight to get in, and it's possible that in 2 years, if there is conference expansion, this would be a program that both the SEC and the Big Ten would have their eye on.
Yeah, give me the sleeping giant at SMU over Rutgers or Maryland.
Yep.
My biggest thing is, if you're going to expand, can we like kick some people out? Like, can you make this an exclusive club that doesn't include schools that won't pay their freight? The ACC thing with SMU is incredible, because I don't think there's really any other school in the country that'd be like, no, we're good. We're not taking anything. We just want to be where the big boys are. We want to play in this sandbox relative to the ones we've been playing in. I mean, they have the only school I know of in the country that's got a center that the football team uses named after a current player. The Kevin Jennings building is the Kevin Jennings Recovery Center. It is exactly what it says. Student athletes can go in and recover at the end zone complex inside their stadium.
Crazy.
And this was donors gave the money to SMU and said, no, you don't have to put our name on it. We'll put the quarterback's name on it. And they might have done this as part of an NIL deal, but it just goes to show you the enthusiasm and the money that's with this program. And if they can get it right on the field, like, that couldn't have been a worse spot for SMU to land in year one of the playoff, or the expanded playoff, I should say, than Happy Valley, maybe Columbus as well, just how cold it was and how very unprepared they were with that. And nobody's crying for the Mustangs right now because of that. But I wonder, had they been put in like Boise, maybe it's different.
Well, and I also think with Kevin Jennings, you have to remember he was just a sophomore then and never really played in any kind of game or environment like that. And this is a kid that last year as a junior, as good as he was as a sophomore, he got a little incrementally better. And his numbers have been great through the last 2 years. 3,245 yards, 3,641 yards, 23 touchdowns, 26 touchdowns. If there was one complaint for Kevin Jennings, I think it would be the interceptions, as he's thrown 24 in those 2 years. But if he can take a little bit better care of the football this year, SMU fans should be very excited because, one, I think they've got a pretty good coach in Rhett Lashley, but they've got a damn good quarterback, too.
They sure do, and they've been really smart in all of this in regard to how they're selling the program. They're selling, if you watch what they're doing in recruiting, if you watch what they're doing in Portal, so they're selling the history, right? They're selling the Pony Express and all of those things. Hell, NBC got me a hoodie that says Pony Express on it that they're selling. So, like, they're selling that. They're selling the nostalgia of all of it, and then they're selling Dallas. And they're selling the money, and they're selling all of it. And if it caught the RI doing this show, talking about the Big Ten and the Buckeyes as much as we do, and then I didn't even have to lead Paul to it, guys. If you guys remember that 2 weeks ago, I didn't lead him anywhere. I just said, who in the ACC would the SEC have an interest in? He mentioned North Carolina, and he mentioned those guys. If you are Tony Petitti and you want to expand this league, and I agree, I would get rid of several, including the two you added 10 years ago. But if you were going to add to this league, you could do a lot worse than adding SMU and Miami into the league. You really could. They are set up for it. They have won a lot. They're in a position to be in the mix again this year with the returning quarterback. There's a glamour to it. And these numbers from the enrollment are nuts. 60% up in applications. Guys, it's still a small school. They only take in 1,800 students. This is their biggest class ever, and it's 1,800 students. So this is a Vanderbilt-type situation where they also bring that elite academic component that the Big Ten would have, a big-time interest in. And obviously, the SEC could just pair them with Vanderbilt. As two massively funded private institutions, elite academically, one in Dallas, one in Nashville, it would kind of put a bow tie on their Oklahoma, Texas A&M corridor to add a fourth team over there. It makes a ton of sense to add them. So I think that they are, and it's what I love so much about it is the audacity of the bet. We have never seen anybody in college athletics bet on themselves the way that they have. To just say, yeah, we're good. We don't need any of your money. We're totally fine with it. And in fact, maybe the irony of all of this is one program that really believes it's coming to the Big Ten is who SMU opens their season with. Florida State. Florida State believes they are coming to the Big Ten. And their facilities look like they're coming to the Big Ten. But by the time expansion comes around, will Florida State be viable to come to the Big Ten in terms of their football product? They are at Florida State, and they got UC Davis at Louisville. That's another fascinating one. Missouri State, Boston College, Virginia, Cal, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Wake, at Notre Dame in November, and then at Stanford. That is the schedule for the beloved Ponies, who I think are going to make a lot of noise this season on the field and in the next couple of years off the field. We will hit the categories for SMU coming up next. Billy Embody, our good buddy, SMU Bureau Chief. He'll join us coming up at 11:30. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
ESPN senior NFL insider Adam Schefter joins Rothman and Ice every Wednesday at 12:30. And he works blue.
Okay.
The NFL Playbook with Adam Schefter is sponsored by the Roofing Guys.
Indeed it is. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Partly cloudy, warm and humid for the afternoon. Highs in the upper 80s. Maybe a few showers and thunderstorms. Better chances likely to be off to our west. Overnight, though, better chance of thunderstorms area-wide. Those may produce gusty winds. Lows around 70. Storm chance ends early on Tuesday, then partly cloudy skies and highs in the mid-80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Catch Bishop and Friends wherever you get your podcasts. It's free.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
The Fan. If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time to hit the categories for the beloved Ponies. Okay, all right. This took a minute. Here's my one thing that I think that they should do. And this, you know, God, far be it for me to ever be critical of anything with the beloved Ponies. I'd get rid of the pony. They got that tiny little pony that run around out there. You're the Mustangs. Get yourself a black Mustang. Have him run around out there. Get yourself a Mustang as your live mascot. That's the only thing that's my only note is that. College football 26 adaptability grade, Reese.
I'm giving a B plus on this. Certainly the financials are there. There's booster enthusiasm. I think you can only be an A once you've pulled the proper portal person. And I mean like the big fish, like if they landed Cam Coleman or something, then I'd boost it up to an A, but they're getting there.
I think that's fair how you just put that, Reese, with yeah. You've got to get the big fish. I'm going B plus for SMU as well because it seems like they've done everything else exactly right except get the big guy.
I think that's fair. I think I was initially going A plus here because, my God, they were in the American Conference 3 years ago. And they're playing in a conference for free, and they're able to do all of these things. But I think Reese brings up a very good point, in that to this point, like, had they landed Julian, had they landed Cam Coleman, they haven't done that yet. Do they have the means to do that? My hunch is they probably do. Do they have the winning yet to be able to do that? Maybe that's what's holding them back from swimming in those waters. But even in recruiting and portaling, they're not a top 10 program yet there. They're still doing it a little bit the old-fashioned way in that they're kind of developing their guys a little bit. So I think that's probably fair. B plus. I'm going to go A minus because I'm blinded with love for SMU. Uniform brand grade, Reese.
The uniform's an A plus for me. The brand is a B plus, so right there at an A minus, I think, with this. I'm still waiting to see the big name in college football have SMU on his table.
Yeah.
I think that's what's keeping him from, once that happens, and it's once that happens, I think then people nationally be like, oh, okay.
I think the uniform grade is an A. It's a fantastic uniform, great color scheme. I think for the reasons we talked about before, with they haven't got that big fish yet, I think that's because for the younger generation, Bo, the brand isn't there yet. Now, for us, who were there when they had Eric Dickerson, or remember that at least, and the Pony Express and all of that, that brand grade's a little better. But for the younger kids, and it's probably why they haven't just gotten over that hump yet, so I'm going to give this a B. The uniform, though, is great.
The uniform's an A++. I mean, the logo looks incredible on the helmet. The color scheme, we talk about this every year when we... I don't think we had them on 20 Most Interesting last year. We did 2 years ago. The uniform is... I don't know why more teams don't use that color scheme. It just absolutely pops. In terms of recruiting for this year, Christian Rhodes was their highest recruit. He's enrolled there. He's a top 100 player in the country, and he was the highest rated one that they had coming in. So they're getting some of those guys, but you're right. They haven't gone all the way over it. I do think the brand is picking up steam, and I'll tell you how I know this. Kids who had the choice, buddies of mine's kids who had the choice to kind of academically go wherever they want, two of them picked SMU. So the brand's coming along. It's coming along. I think it's probably an A-, but it's all coming along. Historical player you'd pick for this SMU team. Well, this will be a sweep, I would think.
I know they got a running back out of the portal who they like, close to a 1,000-yard rusher last season, but he's not Eric Dickerson.
Not only did they get a good running back out of the portal, Reese, but they've got a pretty good returning running back as well. It's still Eric Dickerson.
He is. Yeah, he's the... It's Eric Dickerson. You could probably do Craig James too, but he's a little bit of a crud.
Or Doak Walker.
They or Doak Walker.
Running backs,
they named the award
from
after it.
That's true. They really have three. But yeah, it's Eric Dickerson. Eric Dickerson at SMU, because of all of the scandal, I think, isn't remembered by college football the way that Bo Jackson is and the way that Herschel Walker was as this dominant player. Also, maybe because he split snaps with Craig James. Maybe that was a part of it, too. But Dickerson was sensational. And honestly, one of my favorite gifts ever is the one of him in a gold Trans Am now as a grown man, like just smirking as he drives into Dallas. Like, all of that wins. And if he was on this team and you had somebody that good, my God, would this thing have be ready to take off? Because they have really good players, but he's just... That's the one thing. I think you guys have done a great, really good job of pointing this out. As of right now, they don't have that elite player, like that first-round NFL draft pick type player. They need one of those guys to come through there, and I think this thing's ready to really, really take off. Would they get an official visit from Vince Howard, Reese?
Was there somebody from the show that went to SMU? Or am I thinking of a different...
So,
They would.
I think there was somebody on the team that went to SMU.
What are you watching now?
Remember, I read the book and I watched the movie. I haven't got to the TV series yet.
But. Oh, that's right. That's right. No, I think it was TCU.
Okay.
I think in the television series, I don't remember if they used actual. Did they use actual schools? Oh yeah, Smash ended
Texas
up at
A&M.
Texas A&M. Yeah, that's right. They did use Texas A&M, which was odd because they filmed in Austin. Sorry, Bake. Didn't mean to jump on you.
I think this is an A. I think they'd get the visit.
I think so too. I think West Texas kid. But I do think that they're at the point where they need to start getting those visits. You know, top three or four quarterbacks in the state of Texas, they need to get some visits from those guys and be in that I think they're ready for that. They have an incredible group running their recruiting and all of that. They're right knocking on the door.
Are you saying they need a Southlake Carroll quarterback?
That's
what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. They need to land that. They need one of those kids. They need a Lake Travis or one of those to be able to pop in there. They need that starting quarterback to go in there. Coach grade for Rhett Lashley, Reese.
I'm going to give him a B+. I think they, making the playoff and not having his team ready for the cold is bad. They were in the hunt for the ACC championship last season up until the very end. But they had a couple losses on their schedule that are unforgivable.
I like Rhett Lashley a lot. And I think he would probably be on the short list for a lot of the top tier programs in the country if their head coaching job came open to get an interview. But I think it's a B+ because in the ACC, there was no reason last year they couldn't have been back in the college football playoffs. So if they can get back into it this year, maybe he gets back into the A category for me, but it's a B+ right now.
I'm going to go A- for Lashley. I think he's done an incredible job since he's been there. I think the other thing that he's done that's really cool is understand that he is part of the foundation of something that potentially could be better than anything else out there. It's really hard as a coach. And we saw this, we're seeing this right now with Luke at Wisconsin. We saw the other side of this when Luke went to Cincinnati. If you're going to go somewhere else, you have got to make sure that you can replicate the circumstances that you find yourself in, especially if those circumstances are great. Rhett Lashley is in a great spot at a powerhouse university in terms of financial muster. Stay, man. I'm sure A&M will call if something were ever to go wrong there, although they're high-flying right now. Obviously, if something were to happen at Texas with Sarkisian, I'm sure that he would get a call there. Texas Tech, even, if something were to be a change there. Hell, Oklahoma. If Venables doesn't win at Oklahoma this year, do they call Rhett Lashley? My advice would be to stick, because I think he's probably in the perfect spot for him, and that marriage will be a special one if he can hold it out. You can just kind of see all of these things starting to align a little bit. Sliding doors moment for SMU football, Reese.
So I'm pretty sure I know what you or Baker or you and Baker are going to go with. So I'll pick September 1st of 2023 when SMU officially joined the ACC while taking $0 to do so.
To me, it's got to be when they got the death penalty. Because I was thinking about this, what they did then, and they were willing to put into this program and want it to be good, and what they've done now in just such a short time, how much would we be talking about SMU football if that had never happened? Like, you'd rewrite the history of college football, I think.
I think you guys both hit the right answers. I think it's those two things, and I think they're almost exactly the same. I think the death penalty happening what it did after the 86 season and not playing football in 87, that changes the kind of the face of history over the next 25 years of the sport. Not to say that they would have had like the run that Florida State had in the 90s or anything like that, but they would have consistently been in the mix. It would have totally changed conference expansion in what that looked like, because now all of a sudden you have another powerhouse in the Southwestern Conference. Does the Southwestern Conference even disband? Who the hell knows? And then to Reese's point, To have the stones to say, yeah, don't pay us any money. We just want to be in your league. Because that now sets the table for them to be in a better spot going forward. So I think those two things are bookended. And you can't have one without the other almost. But I think clearly those are the sliding doors moments for sure. You could also make the case for Ron Meyer leaving all the way back in the 80s because it started to derail a little bit when he left. But that's in the way, way distant past. Win it all, make the playoff too soon, or flame out, Reese?
This should be a playoff team. Notre Dame's the only loss. I'll say, okay, that makes sense. You beat Florida State week one. The Louisville game on September 19th, I think, will be interesting. But if you want to make any forward momentum with this program, this has to be a one-loss team into the playoff.
Yeah, it's make the playoff. I don't think they're quite ready to win it all, but they should be in the college football playoff.
I agree. I think they are. They're one of the two teams that's going to get in from the ACC with, you know, maybe Miami's the other, but their schedule sets up for it. They're in a great spot to make the playoff for the second time in 3 years, and then that positive momentum just continues to spin forward. Billy Embody, the publisher of theponyexpress.com, will join us in 2 minutes for perspective on the beloved ponies, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for almost 80 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Our top men are working on everything except this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
20 most interesting, the SMU Mustangs on the list. This is the second time in the last 3 years they've been on this list. When we talk SMU, we love to do it with our buddy Billy Embody, publisher of the Pony Express on theponyexpress.com. Billy, thank you so much for taking the time. First time we had you on was heading into year one in the ACC and the audacity of saying, yeah, we don't need your money, just let us in. And then they went and made the playoff in year one. Now, as we enter year four in the ACC and you think about what has happened during this time, what has been the biggest accomplishment of the program in terms of being able to not only hang with the big boys, but also aspire to be more?
Yeah, I think the biggest accomplishment has been consistency and competitiveness. Like they have, you know, been so close to doing something extra, extra special over the last couple of years with the way they've played in the ACC so far. And I think as you move up in a conference, it's so hard to compete year in, year out and do it at the level SMU's done it at. You know, first of all, their first season in 24, I mean, they did something that no one's ever really done. You know, I think the best move up, so to speak, was 7-5, maybe 8-4. You know, they go to the college football playoff, they go to the ACC championship, they go unbeaten in ACC play, and to do it the way they did it was just remarkable. And then you fast forward, and they go into last year where expectations were sky high because of that, and they fall 7 points short over three games of being 11-1 on the year. It's such a tight, window, and it's such a tight margin for error for these Power Four games to go your way or go against you. And they battled some injuries, but every game they were competitive, and every game they had a chance to win. Every game they led in the fourth quarter of the football game, every single game. And so sometimes the cookie crumbles that way for you, but this year is that year where they're loaded, it looks like. They're healthy. Obviously, most teams are right now, but SMU having Kevin Jennings back with his full health is a big storyline that if it stays that way and he stays healthy, it'll be kind of that piece that pushes them over the top, I think, to get back to Charlotte in the ACC championship game and make the college football playoff.
Well, Billy, and the other thing that's really incredible about this, about a month ago, we were talking about, you know, potential Big Ten expansion in 28 or whenever that comes. And we were listing teams and I go, look, wouldn't shock me if the Big Ten was sniffing around SMU. Because they can see all the things we can all see. 2 weeks ago, and we have Paul Feinbaum on every Thursday, organically on his own without me nudging, he said, I wouldn't be surprised if the SEC was interested in SMU more than some of the other teams out of the ACC that potentially if that falls apart. Are they aware down there how much of an apple of the eye they are in currently for those two power leagues?
Look, I would say yes, but also they're working like they aren't there yet. You know, and that's the important thing is that they know that they have high aspirations. They know that they love where they're at in the ACC for a number of reasons, but everybody keeps talking that there's going to be another shift. What's the next thing in realignment? What's the future of the whole structure of this sport that we love dearly? But SMU absolutely wants to be on the right side of it. And if they have to create another business deal, that makes a ton of sense for both sides to do so that they're on that right side. That's what they're working towards. And, you know, it took a lot for SMU to obviously get into the ACC and do all those things, but, you know, they made money off of that deal and they made, you know, so much more in terms of exposure and applications are up 50%. It's crazy. And so it was a great investment. It was a great move. And it just shows when you invest in football in particular and invest in great athletics, it helps your university and it helps move it forward. And that's why SMU is working like they ultimately want to be in an SEC Big Ten type of conference. And I'm just saying type of conference where, you know, schools are obviously well compensated, but you're in the upper echelon of college sports and you're talked about that way because you're in those leagues. I think the ACC, if everyone bought in, could be that, but it's not right now. And that's probably why the talking points are the way they are. You know, 15, 20 years ago, almost it kind of was. But they made the decision to kind of be the basketball conference and, you know, kind of bit them in the rear a little bit. But, you know, with SMU, I mean, yeah, they absolutely are aware of how well they've done, but they know that the work's not done.
Bill, I want to talk about Rhett Lashley. I read a piece, it may have actually been from you about a month ago, that quoted a board member that said, hey, you stay here and take care of us and we'll take care of you. Obviously, schools around the country are going to be sniffing around. I said, God, if Venables leave, does Oklahoma sniff around? What is his vision for the long-term future of SMU, and how close is he to realizing it, and how big is this season towards that end?
I think the season is huge. So answer that last part. Yeah. The season is huge because it seems like everything is in line for this roster to be, one, just really good. And the quarterback play carries a lot of that. I think they put together, you know, save for a couple pieces they missed on in the portal, probably about as good of a roster as they would have wanted to. And I think if it all reaches its potential, they'll be back in Charlotte. They'll be in the college football playoff. If you get hot, you can win a national championship. Yeah, even go back to 24. If Clemson doesn't drive down the field in the last second and win the ball game. SMU had all the momentum. Who knows if they carry that into overtime. But then that path would have been, you know, through the Fiesta Bowl, you know, in the desert, neutral site, and then you face a Penn State team and a Notre Dame team. Like, you could have found your way. Mm-hmm. But you have everything in line this year to do some of those special things. So it needs to come together this year. I think his long-term vision is to win a national championship. That is what that staff, and that's kind of why they've kind of played that continuity card as far as keeping coaches and elevating coaches into new positions when openings happen, is because everybody understands how to row in that direction towards that national championship and work under Rhett Lashley, and the way they work and the way they try to implement their plan is, you know, pretty successful. And I think for Rhett, he wants to win a national championship. And, you know, you mentioned Oklahoma. I that is a job that I think years from now, if Venables, you know, is, you know, they move on or whatever happens, that's one that would probably absolutely call Rhett Lashley. I mean, he's right down the road. He knows Dallas. Makes a lot of sense. But Rhett, his wife Lauren, his kids, it's very important to them where they are. And they love Dallas. They love the life that they built. They you know, got the lake house about an hour away now, too, which he's brought up before. And so there's just a lot that's holding them here. And it's the entire package. When people talk about SMU and you talk about the city of Dallas, it's together. It's not just, oh, you're staying because of Dallas. No, it's you get to be at SMU in Dallas and experience that, and all of the things that are going on in Dallas and the DFW area right now are pretty incredible. So they've really bought into that. They've built a great life here. His sons are in high school now and playing football, which is huge. So I just don't see them, you know, making that move anytime soon. And during that time, he's chasing a national championship. And if, you know, kids are off to college and everything like that, you know, years from now, and he says, you know what, we push this thing as far as it can go, I'm going to go somewhere else, no one would probably fault him. But also, he's building something special here, and I think he recognizes that, and he's done a terrific job doing it.
Talking to Billy Embody, publisher of OnThePonyExpress.com and the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Buddy, I'm looking at the schedule, and I think 10-2, but 11-1 wouldn't surprise me if they won them all, but 11-1 certainly seems to be in play. They have something, and you tell me this because you know it. Is it, when's the last time that they had pressure like this? Is this Pony Express type stuff where you go into a season saying, hey, win 10, 11 games, or there's going to be people going, hey, what happened here?
I think it's got to be that because, you know, 23, even when they won the American, there was pressure to make that statement that they're going to the ACC and they're going out on a high note, which they met the challenge and they did it well. And then in 24, it was pressure, but kind of like a, look, no one's ever really done well moving up to the Power Four, so it's not a big deal if you don't. And then you come back to 25. That there was pressure there. That I think the way that season unfolded, you kind of save yourself a little bit with wins over Clemson on the road and beating Miami at home. But also, that was the first probably switch where, okay, you're going into year two of the ACC, you're in it, and also you lose to Baylor and TCU, which is just a no-no, and you lost to Baylor at home in the way you did, blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. There's just things of that schedule and that season last year that would just, you know, make people pull their hair out. Mm-hmm. And this year, with everything they have, there's absolutely pressure to deliver. I think you said it best, you know, 10-2, and you're kind of saying 10-2 as if, like, you're probably going to have a loss at some point, but just what is it?
Yep.
You know, do they lose to Cal, which would be kind of rare for them to lose at home, but also rare for Rhett Lashley to lose a revenge game, a game that he's lost the prior year or prior, you know, stop against that team. You know, do you lose to Louisville on the road? That's another good team. Do you lose to FSU week one? You mm-hmm. know, the Seminoles do have a week zero game. They obviously beat Alabama last year. But you look up and down that schedule, and outside of Notre Dame, on paper, all of those games are now games you are expected to win. You know, there shouldn't be a Wake Forest game like last year where everybody called it a trap game since the beginning of the season, where it was sandwiched right between Clemson and Miami, and they had the worst offensive performance of Rhett Lashley's career at SMU, and they lost on a walk-off field goal. And those are the things that now, with the investments and the money being spent and all those things and the roster they have, you just can't do it. And the expectation is to get back to Charlotte, or people are going to be saying, okay, what happened here? Barring, you know, crazy injuries or whatever, but that's the expectation now.
Billy, great stuff, man. Always enjoy the conversation. And if the season goes, we think it does, I'm guessing we'll visit with you somewhere down the line. Thanks for your time, bud.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes. Billy Embody, publisher of OnThePonyExpress.com on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Get you three things on a Monday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join The Fan weeknights at 6 for The Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
The show that understands the importance of a situational beverage. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Yeah, I asked that question to Billy Embody, guys, and it's interesting when you think of it from that perspective of when was the last time they coached it, they had a team at SMU with expectations, real expectations. 30 years?
Eric Dickerson?
Right, Pony Express.
Yeah. Like, it's just, that's, you know, we deal with it. The pressure cooker that they're in here every single day for 50 years. So many of these programs that we talk about live in a world of which isn't even in the vicinity of that. And this is the first time that SMU's had that since the early to mid 80s. It's been that long. Pretty wild. What do you have on the poll today, Reese?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub. It asks, are you surprised LeBron James signed with the Philadelphia 76ers? A couple hundred votes into this thing, 61% say yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bigly. Bigly, bigly.
I am surprised. 61? I shouldn't have been.
Well, I wonder if like the 39% just don't care.
Probably. I mean, at least they didn't make that an option, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, even myself, like I didn't really care, but I thought for sure he was going to Miami.
Yeah, like,
I
not
had
there.
A thought. I never, the Philadelphia 76ers never crossed my mind.
Me either. That would have been as stupefying to me as Minnesota. Like both of those. Yeah. And now I see that he's going to chopper from New York to Philly. He's going to live in, so he's good enough to play in Philly, but he doesn't want to live in Philly. So he's going to live in New York and chopper to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. All right, time for three things on a Monday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, number one for me. So my cousin Courtney now owns the bar of record in the town that I grew up. Her aunt, my aunt, Aunt Carla, was there on Friday night as we were having some pops and getting a bite to eat. Aunt Carla is Uncle Gerald's daughter. I hadn't seen Aunt Carla in a lot of years. And I saw her and went over, gave her a big hug, and I said, you know what? I don't know how this came about, but I ended up telling some Uncle Gerald stories on the show in Columbus. And I started talking about some of the things that I remembered from him as a kid. He died in 86, so I was really young when he died. And I have to tell you, her eyes welled up with tears of the fact that I remembered him so fondly, that I told the stories of him on the show, and it meant a lot to her that I did. And then the other side of that was my Uncle Kel, who's my dad's brother, who was my version of Uncle Gerald, I think was a little jealous that I didn't tell Uncle Kel's story. So I said, well, we can do Uncle Kel's stories too if you want, buddy. We can do those all day long.
Do you have any, like,
well, they'll take some
time. The time allotted, right.
With the time allotted, we're up against it. I got some Uncle Kel stories.
I brain farted there for a second because I'm like, I hope he tells one now. And I'm like, well, we kind of got to roll
like
through
Uncle
this.
Uncle Kel needs to step his game up a little bit.
No, his game's been stepped. I just haven't. Yeah, no, we can do some Uncle Kel stories and some Uncle Tom stories.
First thing for me, real quick, Philadelphia's got such an opportunity. I mean, Philadelphia Sports Talk Radio, I should say, has the next year to make the best content available because you get LeBron James, but he's not living in your city, so you get to dump on him for that. And then unless they win a championship, you get to dump on him for that. And if they win a championship, you get a parade out of it.
Yeah. All true.
Must be nice.
So my first thing, Bo, while you were talking to Billy, I did a little digging on Friday Night Lights and SMU and if there was any connection. And there really wasn't too much of a connection from Friday Night Lights. Boobie Miles was recruited by SMU, but obviously ended up not going to any school. Smash Williams in the TV show briefly committed to fictional Texas Methodist University before the offer was rescinded. And a lot of people have said Texas Methodist University was supposed to be SMU, but he never attended. He went to Whitmore instead. Now, Preston Ellison, he was a wide receiver at Permian High School. A wide receiver and linebacker. He went to Permian, but after the team that Friday Night Lights was based on, he did end up signing with SMU. So no Friday Night Lights connection, really, with your Ponies.
All right, very good. Number two, I'd never had this happen on a flight. We're on a tarmac in Chicago yesterday, loaded, ready to go, and for some reason they're not closing the door, and a young woman comes from the back, walks out to the front. There's a guy who's from United, and she's kind of pleading her case, and they walked her off the flight. And then a flight attendant went and got her two carry-on bags, which are located in two different spots. I don't know how she sorted that out, and took her bags off. All the while, we were in a plane that could not flush the toilets below 18,000 feet. So we spent an extra hour on the tarmac for all of this with no real explanation other than that United was helping a customer. Didn't feel like that's what was going on at all. I'll just tell you this. I've never been more excited for wheels to leave ground because all I was worried about is that pilots' clocks were ticking. Haven't used the bathroom in an hour. My God, you're going to have an exodus. Just get this sucker off the ground. It did. No negative stories, but I've never seen anything quite like that one.
Well, I guess they did help her get her ass off the plane.
They did.
Like helping
Think
you.
About an hour.
Helping you help like, us.
Crazy.
Yeah. The way we behave in public has decreased so much since 2020, and it only feels like it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So the LeBron stuff, I'm jealous. With media and with sports and with athletes in high-profile positions, I looked at Jerry Jeudy and say, you've been in Cleveland long enough to know exactly what was going to happen with that TikTok video before you hit record, man. But it's hilarious, and I'm glad you did it, because it just shows the absurdity of all of this.
Yeah.
Only our Browns.
I'm thrilled. Thank you. Only Jerry Jeudy, too.
Second thing for me, so it's good to have the gang back together. The three of us hadn't did a show together in over 2 weeks. And last week, as good as it was, Reese, to be in here with you and Joshua Perry, and love doing shows with Joshua Perry. And I believe you guys had Isaiah most of the week that I was gone. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's like a warm blanket, a safe place to have the three of us back together.
That's right. It's pure joy to be back, fellas. Finally, speaking of pure joy, there's nothing quite like the pure joy of picking up Buddy Garrity after a week at the doggy hotel. It's like a kid on Christmas hopped up on 10 pounds of cocaine. He's so jacked up. So jacked up. Good to have him back.
I'll second that. There's nothing like seeing your dog for the first time in a while, even seeing him after a day at work.
Yeah.
Where they're so excited to see you. They're so excited to be back home. They're so excited. Like, there's nothing that happens in that, like, that stretch of time where anything you felt before then, you're instantly happy when seeing how happy they are.
There's also nothing exciting as Rothman and Ice on a Monday.
That's right.
And they're back together as Matty Ice is back. They're going to hear from you. The floor is yours. So give the guys a call at 1 o'clock today. They want to hear from you. They'll also get you ready for Big Ten Media Days with Howard Griffith, and Ian Fitzsimmons stops by at 2:30.
You have that to look forward to, which is nice. We're back tomorrow, Bishop and Friends, right here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-plumbing.